We thank you, Jesus. And Father, this afternoon we come into that place. We come before you as friends, God. Lord, I'm reminded of what you said to Moses, God, before Aaron and Miriam. You said to him, to my prophets, I speak in riddles. But to my servant Moses, my friend Moses, I speak to him face to face. Father, we come with an expectation this evening, God, of that relationship, face to face, God. And Father, this evening we say we won't settle for anything less. We're not going to settle for religion, God. We're not going to settle for a watered down version of the life that you have for us, God. But we say, God, we want friendship, God. And Father, we stop everything that stops that, Lord, that obstructs that, God, that distracts us from that, God. Every voice of condemnation, I silence now. Every voice of shame, God, we cancel by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your peace in this place, in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Wonderful. Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Matthew and the band. That was really powerful. Is it just me that thinks that? That was powerful, amen. Starting off, rocking off on 363. And then getting into the worship, some own songs. But thank you, guys. Thank you for leading us into the throne room of God, into God's presence. This weekend, we were privileged to have a working leaders camp. Yeah, a couple of people were excited about it. Just a couple. All right. Now, the theme of the camp was not a boring camp. Now, last night, we worshiped till 12. So it was not a boring camp. I don't know about you. The students are like, oh, well, that's not, you know, 12 o'clock. This is working people, right? That means it must really have been exciting, worship till 12. But if you see someone yawning against you, or next to you, against you, please don't yawn against someone. If you see someone yawning next to you, just tell them, don't be boring, man. Maybe let's do that. Turn to someone and say, just don't be boring. Okay, no more yawning. No yawning. Right. This afternoon, I want to be sharing on a theme that I've actually been sharing on quite a while, and it's I've mentioned it a couple of times this year already. Towards the end of last year, the Lord has just been speaking to me so much about the way we live, the way we walk with God, and specifically pertaining to how we so often get into a performance mentality. How we so often look back, reflect back, and then we score ourselves, we rate ourselves depending on how we performed. And God doesn't look like that at all. God is concerned about how do we obey. And is a place where you and I rely on God, trust on God regarding the performance. That's up to Him. Our part is the obedience. So this afternoon, I'm trusting that God really brings something home regarding this in our lives, that we really get rid of that performance mentality. We really rest in Christ and rest in Him. So actually, I want to end off this evening. I hope I'm going to get there. If we get there, then it was God's plan. If we don't, then it was my plan. Then we can leave it. Then I'm fine. But I actually want us to, while I'm speaking, I want you to think of if you've got any questions, if you want to, dig a bit deeper into what I'm saying. But I really believe the Lord is saying to us, I think one of the first things the Lord said to us as we came back this year is, that this year we're not going to make it without a complete and utter dependence on God. Now, the problem is if you're performing, if you're in a performance mode, you're in control, okay? When you're into obedience, God is in control, you know, and it's a bit scary, you know, being out of control. We like control as people. So I want you to think through what I'm saying. I want you to sort of reflect on how you see things, how you've been, looking. We all make New Year's resolutions. How did you go about that process? What are your plans and your desires for the year? Is it performance-based or is it love-based? Is it grace-based? Is it based on God working on our behalf? Right, so firstly, I'm going to just be sharing from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. I'm going to share from To Break Every Chain. Yes, okay. My sermon is changing. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I'm going to be sharing from my three of my favorite chapters from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. 14, verse 1, summarizes the three chapters so powerfully in this verse, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I like to sometimes translate scripture so that I understand. One day I'm going to have my own translation, the Reino translation. Okay, maybe not in this life. Maybe Evan Aiden will have a translation, the Dashner translation. But my translation of that verse is pursue, love, desire gifts, and get to the plan of God. So that's what I want to be sharing on tonight is pursue, love, desire the gifts, and get to God's plan. I'm going to be sharing on just that. So two enemies of relationship and two enemies of obedience. Because of course when we talk about obedience, we're talking about relationship. That's how God sees, that's actually how God measures relationship. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So the Christian... the true Christian hears God's voice. God speaks and he hears God's voice. And those, Jesus says, that are of me, obey my voice. So we're talking about relationship and we're talking about the essence of relationship. The essence of relationship is communication, the basis of relationship. And the basics of relationship is this very thing of communicating, understanding, and understanding one another's hearts. Now, two enemies of good relationship, and this, I'm not even talking just about God. In fact, this is any relationship, whether it's a friendship, romantic relationship, husband, wife, children. This is two enemies of good relationship. The one is, I don't know if you've heard of the saying, we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge others by their actions. Have you heard that saying? Who agrees with that? Okay. Who's heard that before? Mostly everyone. Okay, so we judge ourselves by our intentions, but when we look at other people, we don't care about the intentions, it's just the actions, right, that we're concerned about. This is one enemy of relationship, undone intentions. Okay? The other enemy of relationship is what Psalm 19 verse 13, David writes the psalm and he says, Lord, stop me from the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption. So with our relationships with God, one of the greatest enemies is presuming. Presumption. The sin of presumption. Alright? And this is also one of the killers in relationships. Is presuming you understand what the other person needs and their expectations are. Okay? So, my wife and myself, my wife would often tell me a problem. Often get this wrong. She says to me she's going through this thing, and before she's done, I've already come up with the solution. And when she's done, I lay the solution down. Because I love my wife, and I want to get her out of this problem, and of course, I'm the one that's going to come up with a solution, and I'm going to help her out of that place. Now, who of the married men knows that is the wrong thing to do? And it's the weirdest thing. They tell you this before you get married. They tell you, don't try and fix the problem, just listen. You know? You know the whole, the wife is in the hole, Have you heard that analogy? Duncan knows that analogy, haven't you? Okay. So what happens is, you know, women are emotional, right? Yes, no? Okay, you said it, I didn't say it. Okay, so we go through difficulties, all of us. Men handle it a bit different than women. Women, when they get into difficulties, they get into a hole. Okay, now the men, our understanding is we get to the hole, we stand outside, we look into the hole, we say, okay, you're in a hole, do this, jump there, stand there, go there, and jump out. You know, that's like, you know, guys, you agree with me, that's what you would do. You know, if a brother is stuck in a hole, you're going to help him out of the hole. That makes sense to me. I don't know about you, but apparently not. So women want you not to stand next to the hole and tell them what to do. They want you to say and to ask them, how do they feel about being in the hole? How does it feel down there? What are you experiencing? And, you know, apparently they know how to get out of the hole. All right? So, shucks, there's my wife. Now it's all confessed. She's going to keep me against this now. So apparently that's the case. So what I do is I come to Liana and I presume I know what she wants and what she needs. Big mistake. Okay? Because what she needs and what I think she needs is very far from each other. Okay? And so if I go there and I approach Liana in that way, guess what? It's going to put a bit of distance between us. Okay? It's the same with God. The sin of presumption works exactly like that. God says something. We think he says this thing, and then we run. But a simple little question. What do you mean? Or what is your need? Or what do you mean by that? Can really put us into a very good space. Then we know what God really wants. Presuming what God wants puts us into a difficult space. Presuming what our husbands, our friends, our wives wants, and doing that is not good for a relationship. But meeting hearts, that is good relationship. So two things that really break down relationship is undone intentions. Okay? So now that saying, we judge others by the intention, we judge ourselves by the intentions, we judge others by their actions. What is the biblical way? Jesus says he judges our intentions, but also our actions. Our actions are important. So it's important that we judge our actions, that the way that we look at others, we judge our actions. So we often, we're so oblivious to this. We think good things, but we don't realize how little we do or say or action those intentions. All right? So we need to action our intentions. And secondly, we need to stop presuming and start asking. Of course, that's relationship. And this I found is so difficult for us as Christians because, you know, we like method. We like rules. And because rules makes it predictable. Rules makes God predictable. And we actually like it when God's predictable because then we can control. Okay? But God wants us to have relationship with him. Amen? And that means you need to go back to God and need to ask. You know, that means when Liana's got a need, I need to go and ask. Okay, this is your need. You just said, what do you want from me? What is your expectation from me? Let me not presume what I think it is, but let me do what is on your heart. Right, so pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that we might prophesy. This is almost like a directive. God is saying to us, do this. Pursue love, desire gifts, and especially that you might prophesy. That's God's directive. The world's directive goes a bit like this. Avoid real love, pursue self, and especially seek what the world has to offer. Let me say that again. Avoid real love, pursue self, and especially seek what the world has to offer. So I'm going to take us bit by bit through that scripture, starting with pursue love. Now, fortunately, when we read this in verse 1 of chapter 14, there's a whole chapter of love in chapter 13. So if you want to know what love looks like and what it means to pursue love, then just page a chapter back. But now this is such a key. And I really hope we're gonna find this one tonight. This is so important. And actually, you know, like I said, maybe we're gonna have time for some questions at the end. So I want you to think about this one. And I want us to work this one through. But real love, and this is a statement, is never found in expectation thereof. And this is going to shock you a bit, but I want you to really think of this. It's never found in expectation thereof. It is found in giving it. The bond of real love is never passive. Okay, so think about that for a moment. Okay? Real love is never passive. So think of it this way. Think of your salvation moment. Did you realize that God loved you? Okay? But here's the thing. You actually only came to realize it a bit later, after your salvation. What happened is you came to God and you gave God something. Then you discovered his love. Scripture says it's by faith that we receive our salvation. So in other words, you gave God something. You gave him your faith. And then in return for that, not in return for that, God gave it to you in any case. But it's almost like that giving of faith opened up something in you that you could realize that God loves you. Okay? That's one example. Another example is when you come to worship God. Okay? Who of you knows if you come to the service and you sit there and you wait, you're maybe going to enjoy the music, but you're probably not going to connect with God. Okay? I'm not saying this is a rule, but I'm saying this as this is what most often happens. When you stand up and you begin to say, listen, I'm going to deny my flesh. Maybe I'm not feeling good, but I'm going to stand up and I'm going to give to God. Who of you knows, then you'll connect with God. Okay? Now, is it the fact that God is withholding his love from you? Yes? No? No. Of course not. God will never withhold his love from you. But there's something in the dynamic of who we are that says you only realize the fact that Jesus loves you once you begin to give. It's almost like it opens up a life flow. Okay? So I'm not saying once again this as a rule. I actually believe there are exceptions. But mostly, you can only discover what God has for you until you have started to give to God. It's like that giving opens up the flow of God's love. So it starts with giving. Real love starts with giving. Psalm 100 verse 4 says it this way. We all know this verse. But listen to it in this context. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Can we all say that together? Say this after me. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Do you see that word give? Give thanks to him. Okay? So God's love is there. God's love is unconditional. But there's something that is necessary to unlock that love in our lives. When we begin to give first, then we receive that. Like I said, there are exceptions, but mostly, as a believer, this is the rule. Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. That one blows our Western societies, blows our minds. You know, how can it be more blessed, you know, to give? You know, surely it's more blessed to receive. But no, Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So the crux of the matter is give. Real love gives. Okay, and you can read the whole of chapter 12 to understand that that is the case. When we give, we open ourselves up to receive. And I want to take this a bit further. If you want to have good friends as a Christian, if you want to have true discipleship, if you want to have good leadership, if you want to have a good relationship, then start with giving first. If you want to have friends, first be a good friend. Then you'll have good friends. All right? Now, I said the statement I made initially was, if you have an expectation of love by being passive, you're going to be disappointed. But if you want to, I don't know, how many of you have seen people like that? They never have friends, but they really want good friends, but they're passively sitting and waiting. All right? But who of you know the person that is a good friend always has lots of friends? All right? So real love starts with giving first. Giving and then receiving. It's the same, like I said, with discipleship. If you want to be discipled, start discipling. Start giving first. And so on. Secondly, love. We're talking about pursuing love. This is an interesting one. Real love is tough and not fluffy. Who understands what I mean implicitly when I say that? Real love is not fluffy. Okay? So the world tells us it's fluffy. If it's not fluffy anymore, then it's not love, then we move on. Great. Megan agrees. Great stuff. Okay? But true love is tough, right? Again, go and read 1 Corinthians 12. You'll see the type of love that God talks about there. It's tough to love like that. Okay? I think a lot of times, a lot of us are stuck, and often myself as well, we're stuck with honeymoon love. Okay? Who of you knows it's very easy to love in a honeymoon phase? Okay? It comes so naturally. You know, the emotions are there and it all happens. But the real measure of love is when we're beyond that. Now there's conflict. Now are we going to have love? Because now it becomes hard. Now it becomes tough. Now it's not just, now my emotions don't follow. In fact, my emotion sees the opposite. You know, but now am I going to love? All right? Does that make sense? So real love is tough. Okay? And often, actually, the most love that you can give to someone is actually a confrontation. So, it means you're going into someone's life and you're saying to them, listen, you're my friend and I'm going to talk to you because I've got something on my heart and I've seen something, but I really, because I love you, I have to share this with you. Do you know that that is more love than the time where we're having a good time and we say, yeah, I love you, brother. Hey? Do you agree? Of course, that is also necessary. The affirmation is very important. But the true love is shown in the hard times. Okay? So now when it's really tough, there's really a situation, I really need to sit my brother down. And then, when I then avoid the situation, what is that? That is the absence of love. Okay? So real love is tough. Ask Jesus. His most powerful, the most powerful expression of love was incredibly tough. Jesus going to the cross, of course. Thirdly, pursuing love starts with pursuing Jesus. Okay? We cannot fabricate love. We can only pursue Jesus. So the third point there is start with the pursuing part. But don't pursue love. Don't pursue this perfect love. Pursue God who is perfect in his love. All right? The more you and I pursue him, the more we become like him. The more we connect with God, excuse me. The more we connect with God, the more we realize, listen, this Jesus really loves me. Because the more I mess up, the more he stays. The more I do things wrong, the more he comes into my life. He disciplines me. He corrects me. And then he shows me his love. All right? Sometimes the emotions follow. But sometimes it's really tough. Because God really loves us. So that's pursuing love. Who of you want to pursue love? All right. Now feel where hands are going up. Because you realize it might be tough. Okay? That's cool. It's great. It's great that we're honest. Okay. Desire spiritual gifts. Shake someone next to you and say, don't be boring. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 12 speaks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about love and true love. And like we're saying here, it combines the two in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So in other words, it's saying, Scripture is saying it's good to desire. It's good to pursue love and the gifts that God has given us. So I'm going to spend some time talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, very exciting. But I want to ask you a question. Is, do you think that your walk in the measure of giftedness, that you walk in the full measure of your giftedness from the word go? No. What is necessary for you to walk in the full measure of God's giftedness on your life? What is necessary? Kobe says love. Oh, did you not say love? Okay. It would have been a good answer. But you must wait till I finish. Good answer, but not the right one. No, love is always the right answer. Agnes? Okay. Okay. Filled up more and more in obedience. Okay. Anyone else? How do you walk more in your giftedness? Desire. You practice. Okay. Anyone else? Anything else? Say again. Lost. You ask. That's a good thing as well. Yes. You ask. Good answer, Agnes. Okay, now, this is very important. The giftedness. Gifts. God says it's good to desire gifts. So, if God says it's good, then surely we must take it serious. Surely, you know, God says something to us, it's going to be good for us if we desire it. Okay, so it's important that we understand the full measure of the gifts that God has given us. Okay, now, this is so necessary. God doesn't have another plan for the salvation of the world than the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we are talking about. This is God's plan, right? So it is a good thing to know, how do we maximize the giftings that God has given us, all right? Now, there's a couple of ways that we go about this, and in certain places more than others. The one way of growing in the measure of our giftedness, and please note, all three of them actually work. But I'm going to show you what is God's way. The first one is you can grow through giftedness through methodology, right? So there's actually quite a few ways that you can grow by doing the gifts in a certain way, or watching someone else doing it in a particular way and you mimic that. You can actually get quite a lot of results in using the gifts of God by doing that. So using a lot of method, and there's actually quite a lot of talk about method in the world today. This is how, if you want to pray for healing, if you want to do things, if you do it according to this way, you're going to get lots of results. If you do it according to this way, you're not going to get a lot of results. And actually a lot of times, it works. Except that the method of how God works 50 years ago is different from the method that God works today. Okay? So, yes, you're going to get results. Okay? But no, that's not God's first plan, is to copy method. And there's a little bit of place for it. But guess what? You know, I remember this once with my, the story just randomly reminded of. There was, my dad had a lot of issues with his back. I've shared this story many times, but he had issues with his back pain. And, you know, we went to this evening where we were just walking in the gifts and trusting for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Someone had a word that the kids must pray for healing. So I took the first boy I could find. I said, listen, you're going to pray for my dad's back. And I took him to my dad and I said, okay, listen, pray for his back. My dad said, yes, it's fine. The little boy put his hand on my dad's back and he says, Lord, heal his back and send the devil to his grave. All right, that was his prayer. And long story short, my dad's back was healed. Pain that he had for years and years, you know, long story short, but he couldn't run. The next day he ran, and, you know, still today his back is perfectly healed. That little boy prayed, and he had faith for healing, right? If you technically think of it, it's not really the right prayer to pray, right? Theologically, send the devil to his grave. Maybe that's actually very good theology. But the method wasn't necessarily followed because this is just a little boy, just acts in faith. Right? He just does it. So, no, methodology is not the right way to grant gifts, although, like I says, it does produce results. If we follow a big healer that does miracles and we follow his method, we might actually get a lot of results. But that's not God's first plan. That's not how we grow into the fullness of God's giftedness. The second way is in terms of doctrine. If you understand and you believe according to this way, in other words, if you don't have incorrect thinking in terms of, let's stick with the example, healing, and you correctly think about and believe about who God is, then you're going to get a lot of healing. All right? And once again, there's a lot to say about that. But, who was it? Agnes was right. If you want to grow in your giftedness, the answer is obedience. And it works like this. Because the first two that I mentioned, belief and methodology, you actually don't need to depend on God for those. You can just sit around, listen to a lot of teaching, listen to what people say, or follow a rule, follow a method, and you can get results. But the last way, obedience, you need to depend on God. So if you really want to grow in your giftedness, guess what? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When He speaks, when there's an opportunity, when a colleague next to you is sick, the Holy Spirit says, now, go, pray. Then you're walking in obedience. Then you're growing in the giftedness of God. All right? So if you want to walk to the full measure of who God has called you, the gifts that He's given you, the way is obedience. And I've seen this consistently in my life. Whenever there's someone that really obeys God, they're implicitly obedient. They listen. They not just listen, but they do quickly. They grow exponentially quick in God's gift. And it's permanent. I want to say it this way. And you often get people that, and especially today in the church today, globally, there's quite an intense focus in certain parts of the church on the supernatural. All right? But I want to say it this way. I want to say those that are obsessed with God will have miracles that follow. Okay? For some, they're obsessed with miracles and God follows. Who's seen that? Some people are obsessed with God. And when you're obsessed with God, listen, if you stick with Jesus, you're going to see miracles. All right? Some people are obsessed with miracles. And if they incidentally get to God, it's nice. But the miracles is the aim. Okay? That happens a lot in the church today. The difference, once again, is that the first group, those that love God, that are obsessed with God, their miracles are going to be continuously. And they're going to just grow in it more and more and more. The second group, they will see miracles sporadically. All right? Because your desire for miracles can never satisfy as your desire for God. when you desire God, there's this passion that is unending. All right? There's this pursuit of God that gives you strength and energy. You cannot stop. When your pursuit is miracles, you know, sometimes you're going to be very passionate. Other times you're going to be like, okay, well, I don't have energy now. Sometimes I'm going to be very passionate, and then I'm passionate again. You get the idea, okay? Whereas with God, Scripture says, we will run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. So if you really want to grow in miracles, in giftedness, then start pursuing God. The miracles will follow. The miracles will even be greater than those that are obsessed with the miracles. And this is exactly that which 1 Corinthians 13 says, when it says, the gifts of God without love is a clanging cymbal. All right? So when it says desire spiritual gifts, when Paul says desire spiritual gifts, he says desire this type of gifts is the type that says, I want to see someone. I've got a passionate longing for Christ to be revealed to people. Okay? You see the difference. The one says, I've got a passionate desire to see the supernatural, that someone can realize, wow, that was amazing. But the difference is someone that says, I want to see Christ. I've got a longing of seeing Christ revealed to people. Amen. And sometimes that miracle is not the miracle that we're expecting. Sometimes we go out and we're thinking, okay, this big thing is going to happen. We're going to pray for the person in the wheelchair, and they're going to stand up, and then they're going to know God. But sometimes, you know, if we come with a miracle expectation, we're going to be disappointed. If we come with a Christ visitation expectation, then we're just as excited if the person is emotionally healed, but they don't stand up out of the wheelchair, but they've met Christ. And praise Lord, that's the aim, is God being revealed to people. So I want to actually stop here. I've got another point, but I just felt the Holy Spirit wants to interject here. I feel some of us are at the start of this year, and you, let's see, what's the words? I don't often think in Afrikaans. I actually think in English, but now I'm stuck in Afrikaans. Yes, you don't feel up to this year, okay? Actually, I shared a couple of days ago, with the staff. I normally start out a year, and then I've prayed, I've fasted, I've got my direction for the year, I've got the word. And I do know what God is expecting of me this year, but I've started this year out a bit on the back foot. You know, I feel I'm not as in control as I normally are. Do you see the irony there? And that's exactly what the Lord said to me. He actually wants me, because he wants me to walk in expectation and dependence on him this year. I remember Pastor Fred May is the head of Shofar. I remember him sharing a testimony once. He said he came in a time in his ministry where he was so tired. He had such ministry fatigue, and it was just before an outreach, and he had to do the outreach event, but he really couldn't. He couldn't find the strength. He was exhausted. And then he said he went behind a pillar, like sort of like that, and behind the pillar he just said, God, I need you. You know, and he said it was the most amazing thing. God just came and refreshed him, revived him in that moment. And where he was absolutely exhausted, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, God in that moment enabled him, strengthened him, and gave him what he needed to go on. And he said it was like a supernatural moment. In that moment, he was completely refreshed. All right? Now, I feel some of you are here this year, and you really, this year's a bit intense for you. You're feeling a bit, you know, not ready for it, and all the expectations, and, you know, maybe even God asking things of you. You're thinking, wow, this is a bit much. Then I want to say, I believe that God wants to come and refresh you here today. I remember one year I was preparing for the year. I was fasting. And in that, it was like a whole day. I remember God just took hold of me. Initially, I didn't understand what was happening with me. I thought maybe I'm sick. But I couldn't stand up for the whole day. I was just lying in bed. And when I stood up, I knew I was ready for the year. It was like the Holy Spirit just took hold of me the day, and He gave me, Jesus calls it virtue. He gave me everything I needed for that year, and, you know, I was filled with Him. I believe God wants to do that right now for some people here. So if that's you, I want you just to quickly stand up. You don't feel like you're going to, you know, you're ready for this year, and you feel tired, you feel right at the word go, you want to just give up. And maybe you've even given up some things. And I felt the Holy Spirit, I must just give Him space here right now. Okay, I want you guys to quickly come forward, and we're gonna form a little circle. We're gonna take hands. I want the rest of us, none of us are spectators of the Holy Spirit. We're all participants with God. So I want you either you pray, you stretch out your hands towards these people, or I want you to speak to God yourself. I want you to be on your knees and engage with God. Say, God, I need your strength. But we're going to just take a moment, and actually we're going to be quiet than we're going to say something. And just wait on the Holy Spirit and allow Him to fill us. So why don't you do that? Either stretch out your hands or go on your knees or just spend time with God. But let's all participate in this moment. Matthew, you can lead us in some song. Guys, can we take each other's hands? Matthew, will you just lead us in a song? Just feel that for some of you, I don't know if it's just a couple or it's everyone, but feel for some of you, actually, what you're registering, what you're feeling is actually more of a disappointment. Some of you have been really disappointed. You really trusted for something to happen. You didn't see it happen. You really felt it was God, but it wasn't God. And now you really feel disappointed. I'm going to ask us to do something a bit different. I want to ask that everyone that's here in front, will you just wait a minute? If you can just, where you are, just take a seat. We're just going to hang around here. And actually, I felt us to do the Jacob thing a bit. To say, God, we're not going until You bless me. Lord, I'm not leaving until I've connected with You. So I want to just share just the last part of, and I believe for some of you that disappointment is key, and God's going to heal you and deliver you from that. But before I do that, I want to share the word. It's almost like the word is going to help you with that disappointment. The last point of what I'm sharing tonight is the plan of God, prophesying. The scripture says, pursue God, desire the gifts, and especially that you might prophesy. And I really had it on my heart for a while that we prophesy as a church, and we really trust for the gifts of God as we've done before, but in a greater measure. Really believe God, the spirit of prophecy is here and wants us to be directed by His plans. But I want to share something that I believe is really key that has helped me in the past, and especially when it comes to disappointment. I don't know if you knew, but Scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who's read that scripture? Okay, it's a bit of a disappointing one, right? You know, we thought our hearts were pure, right? And through Christ, yes, it is, but there's still a part that Scripture says is deceitful above all things. And I've seen it. Really godly people, really amazing people. But then, you know, if we don't surrender to Christ in the appropriate way, we get deceived. Really amazing people. How can that happen? We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, but yet it happens. And I believe the key, a part of the key perhaps, is in Ezekiel 14, verse 4. Old Testament scripture, Old Testament. I'm talking about prophets and prophecy, and by implication for us today, the voice of God. It says here, verse 4, therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet. Okay, so it says someone has an idol in his heart. He comes to the prophet. Okay, he hasn't gotten rid of the idol. It's still there. And it says, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I might seize the house of Israel by the heart, because they are estranged by idols. So it says something very particular here. And actually, John Bevere writes a whole book on this. But just the short principle here, it says that a person comes to the prophet, but there's something wrong. There's something in his heart. There's an idol in his heart. What happens, the prophet, he sees the idol and he speaks according to that idol. But it says God will answer. It's one of those very scary scriptures. In other words, the person comes to God and supernaturally they hear something of the future, but it's not God. Did you see that? It says the prophet will answer, but it's not God's plan. It's not God's will. It's an answering according to the idol in one's heart. All right? So something supernatural happens, but God did not initiate it. It was because of an idol in your heart. And being familiar with prophecy, you know, I've really seen this happen. People coming, responding to God, they really, really, really want something, but it's not God that put that desire there. And someone with a prophetic gift stands before that person and they say, God says this and this and this. And it's exactly what is in the person's heart, but they know it supernaturally. Who's experienced that? Okay? But it's not God. It was the prophet that, because of his gift of prophecy, could tell up something, it could pick up something in the person's heart, and then we think it's God because it was supernatural. Who of you know that not everything supernatural is of God? All right? Here's the key. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is my word not like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? See, God's word is indestructible. Now, I can be honest with you. I fell for this thing. Where there was something in my heart I really, really, really wanted. And if you really want something, you go to God. But it's become such a big thing. It might even be a good thing. It's become an idol in your heart. God will supernaturally give you a word for it. Who's experienced that? And I've gone through a place where I've actually had some, you know, had to allow God to come and heal things because I was so disappointed, deeply disappointed. And I had to go back to God and say, God, you know, this wasn't you. This was the idol in my heart that spoke to me. It wasn't you. You didn't speak. It was I that really wanted this. And then God healed me in that situation. So the amazing thing about God's word is, like Jeremiah says, it's like a hammer that breaks the rock. God's word is indestructible. And what I see so often is we handle God's word a bit sensitively. We're scared. God says something to us. We're scared it's going to be taken away from us. But I want to actually encourage tonight the opposite. When God says something to you, don't be scared it's going to get taken away from you. Okay? If it's God, it will remain. It will be unbreakable. So I see this often, and that's why I believe the Holy Spirit has really brought this tonight, where sometimes God says something, but we want to keep it to ourselves. We don't want to, we're scared someone's going to say something about it. So we're scared to bring it to our friends. We're scared to get input on it. And then, you know, we keep it, but then it's not necessarily God. But I want to say this, if God speaks, nothing and no one can take it away from you, all right? So the more you share, the more you allow that word to be tested, like the scripture says, as a fire, the more you know it's God. Does that make sense? All right? So allow God to test that word. Peter says, test your calling. Test that call, that voice you heard from Christ. Is it Christ? God says, do this. Bring it into the out there. You know, I've just noticed just a sensitivity. We're so sensitive about something that God says, we're scared it's going to get taken away from us. And I can see some of you, God is speaking to some of you. And I want you to say, God, if there's something in my heart, I surrender it to you. But allow your word, which is like a hammer. Some of us, I believe, the Holy Spirit is saying now, you're holding onto things that is not God. And the end of that is heartbreak. And a couple of people are there already. God wants to heal you right now. So I want us just to close your eyes. Say, God, if that's me, even if you're just not sure, but you've got a suspicion, I want you to stretch out both your hands. Say, God, confirm to me your word. I don't want to hang on to something flaky, but I want to hang on to your eternal word. I want to hang on to the indestructible. And I allow you now, God, to come and speak into that place, to destroy that which is not from you, but to strengthen that which is from you. And I want you, if that's you right now, if you're raising your hands, I want you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, I bring to you my heart, and I give you my heart. I ask for your word to prosper in my heart. I ask for everything else to be removed. I trust you, God, that you would take away every idle thing that is not of you. But right now, I receive the pure. I receive the true. I receive the eternal. And I thank you, God, for a complete work. I thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful. And your faithfulness will remain. Strengthen me now with your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to pray of us. Father, we pray that you would put us on a journey where you show us, where you make it clear, God. Where you expose things that are not from you, God, and you reconnect us to the pure and to the true. And Father, I speak strength now to every of your son and sin daughters sitting here. You would bless us in Jesus' name. Just want to open up just for a second. I want us just to stay in a mode of worship. Is anyone with a word? Okay, Vanessa's already got the word. Felt there's someone with a word. There's maybe another person, maybe a song. Just feel the spirit of prophecy is here. We must just respond to him.
It might be for some of you here, but when you were standing in a circle, I saw God taking heavy clothes off of you and putting light clothes on, and I saw some of you being equipped with certain weapons. And then the story of David came to mind when he was going to fight the Philistine, and he tried on Saul's armor and it didn't work for him because, you know, I think that was the natural way that they thought, no, this is what you need to do in order to fight this big person. But God actually used what he knew and to defeat the giant. And it's not what the world might think. It's something small and something that you've walked the path with the Lord that he will use to help you get the giant on his face.
I just want to share the scripture with you, and I actually want to encourage you to go and read Psalm 116. The first part, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. In the second part, what can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? I lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. I'll pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'll do, and I'll do it together with his people. When they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. I'm ready to offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'll do, and I'll do it in company with his people, in the place of worship, in God's house, in Jerusalem, God's city. Hallelujah. Your Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your precious people, Lord. I just thank you, Father, that we can come to you just as we are, Lord. Our Father, you know us, Father. You know, Lord, the things in our lives, Lord, that we just cannot step past that thing, Father. But thank you, Lord, today that we can come and say, Lord, we surrender, Father. Everything, Lord, and especially those idols, Father, we lay down at your feet, Father. We say you first in our lives, Father. We cry out to you, say, Father, come and deliver our soul, Father. Set us free, Father, from whatever, Father, is holding out onto us. Father, we want to let it go, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, Father. Every person, Father, thank you that you come and touch every person with your grace and your goodness, Father. The fear of God, Father, you say you want to put the fear of God in our hearts, Father. I pray for desire for that fear of God in our hearts, Father. For that everlasting covenant with a God, Father, that is so big and faithful and constant that it will never stop, never turn away, Father, but stay the same, Father. Father, any lies here, we break it now in Jesus' name. Father, that you say you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. Most of all, Father, I pray for love, for endurance, Father, and for a desire to know you more. Father, thank you. Anything that's keeping us from that, Lord, just for that desire, Lord, to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just want to pray for you guys again. Father, we just break now that spirit of disappointment in the name of Jesus. Father, we break down that spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. And Father, we open up the channels of life, the rivers of life. Thank you, Father, for rivers from the innermost being, from our innermost being, Father, welling up into eternal life. Thank you for those rivers, God, that will never run dry, God. That place where we never dry, Father, we always, Lord, our thirst is quenched in Jesus, God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We bless you. I want us just to end off tonight. Matthew, can we sing again? Look what you've done. Let's just shift our focus to God. And I want you just, if you guys are in front here, I want you just to persist for a moment. And after the song, we'll close the service. But I want you just to hang around. So often we come into God's presence. He speaks to us, but we leave too quick. We go on to the next step too quick. Just make sure that you know what God is saying, where he's directing, and what he's requiring of you. We're going to have some facilitators that will pray with you and trust with you if it's necessary. But let's just, as a song of thanksgiving, just sing this to God as a song of faith.